Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're obeying the lockdown regulations, are you?
I am obeying the lockdown regulations and doing a good job of it. I have to say, not everyone is, and there's been somewhat of a backlash here in the UK and whether we need to strengthen some of those measures. I was somewhere, not this weekend gone, but the previous weekend, and to be honest, I was shocked about how many people weren't wearing masks, to be honest with you, just for no apparent reason. Now,
obviously,
some people are exempt from that, but clearly it's not the numbers of people who aren't doing it, and certainly the government putting pressure on operators, particularly the supermarkets, to say no mask, no shopping.
Although the police have said they won't enforce it.
Well, I think they are moving to a more enforcement phase, it has to be
said. Not in supermarkets, though.
Well, so far it's been guidance as opposed to the law. I think it changes to the law maybe tomorrow, is my understanding of it. So perhaps that'll give them greater ability to step in and do it. But it appears certainly one of the big areas that the virus can transfer to other people is within that supermarket setting.
See, Boris Johnson got into a bit of trouble for going for a bike ride 7 miles away from Downing Street, which, quite frankly, is a bit unfair. I mean, leaving aside Mr. Johnson's shortcomings, I mean, you can hardly cycle out of Downing Street down the Mall, can he?
Well, it's probably a little bit quieter than it normally is, given the lack of tourists, the lack of movement that's been taking place. Again, the great debate is what is the law and what is the guidance and how should it be enforced and when? So, and within England compared to Scotland and Wales, for example. So all these sort of discrepancies, anomalies, make it very difficult for people to truly understand the rules, even those in charge. And sort of any discrepancy when you're at that level is somewhat highlighted, as you'd probably expect.
Well, the guidelines are there for people to follow, you know, and social distancing and all the rest of it, be sensible. But there are always going to be some people who don't, you know that illegal rave you had at your house the other night.
An illegal rave. I don't think I've ever been to an illegal rave. I don't think I've ever been to a rave, let alone an illegal one, it has to be said. The question is, what constitutes local? There isn't a definition of exactly what that means. I mean, one man's local is another one's, you know, off-patch sort of foray into the wilderness. So it comes down to, I think, a little bit of common sense. I don't think we can go too far with the idea that a 7 mile bike ride has destroyed the credibility of the government. Maybe a trip to Barnard Castle is seen as somewhat different.
Especially to get your eyes tested.
True.
Okay, markets, US markets feeling the pressure a bit yesterday. Political turmoil engulfing Washington, and of course, the backdrop of rising coronavirus cases.
Yeah, US stocks fell for the first time in 5 sessions yesterday. Investors started the week in somewhat of a cautious mood with equities near record highs. S&P was led lower by real estate and consumer discretionary sectors. Energy, healthcare, pretty resilient. S&P 500 down 0.6%. Dollar strengthened against all its major peers with demand supported by elevated treasury yields. Benchmark yields have been rising just above 1.1% this morning. So on expectations that US lawmakers will indeed ramp up stimulus efforts, igniting the debate around the reflation trade. Bitcoin grabbing the headlines once again. Prices slumped somewhere around 14% yesterday. This after the UK financial watchdog issued a statement that consumers of crypto should be prepared to lose all their money. So you can imagine that was a somewhat of a nervous state of affairs for retail investors who've piled into Bitcoin at elevated levels. Bitcoin, $32,000 this morning, down from its recent high of $42,000. Opening calls on the European bourses, looking positive this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 1 point. DAX over in Frankfurt up 27 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 4 points.
Yeah, I read quite lots about cryptocurrencies, and apparently the message is from adepts, you should hodl.
Hodl?
Hodl, yeah, and it's a trendy word saying hold. A bit they have to be trendy.
Hold.
Yeah, H-O-D-L, hodl. Because just hang on to it, because soon it'll be going through the roof again, apparently.
Yeah, or falling through the floor. But it's a very volatile, asset class, but it's a speculative investment at best, one would suspect.
Well, it's just a shame for all these sort of small investors who have attempted in and probably haven't got the money to waste. I mean, if you're a large institutional investor, you can afford to lose a couple of million. But if you're sort of struggling and then you put all your money into Bitcoin and lose the lot, then it's not much help, really, is it?
Absolutely right. And there are elements, and and there are parts of a portfolio that perhaps can be assigned to a speculative investment, but should be a very small part of your holding. If it's a substantial or meaningful part of your wealth, then one would suspect cryptocurrencies is not the place for you.
Social media firms were hard hit yesterday on the back of Twitter banning Donald Trump, and sort of people are saying, well, it's freedom of speech. You've got to let these people say what they want, but...
Yeah, that's the real debate, isn't it? That's why they've been hit hard, because it means what sort of regulation will we see these social media companies getting in the future? Because in the past, they've sort of claimed, listen, we're a bulletin board, we're a platform, we don't make editorial decisions. When you ban the President of the United States from using the service, then it starts to look a little bit like an editorial decision, and then does that mean you're going to get hit with a much broader range of regulations? And I think that's what the market's trying to assess at the moment. But certainly big tech under pressure, backlash against social media sites, shares in Twitter, Facebook fell yesterday, rival Parler was also forced offline, Twitter shares were down 6%. Say banning President Trump permanently for risking incitement to violence, citing posts referring to riots in the US Capitol, removing one of Twitter's biggest accounts. Facebook were down 4%. Amazon shut down right-wing platform Parler's access to its servers. Google, Apple kicked Parler out of its stores, making it almost impossible to download the app. Tech giants trying to distance themselves from accusations that they helped fuel the violence. And remember, even before last week's violence, lawmakers, civil rights advocates have been pressuring social media companies to crack down on hate speech. I think in Europe, actually, companies can be fined if they fail to act on hate speech. But I say US companies have really gone down the route of self-regulation, this calls into question whether that will continue to be the case.
Yeah, I quite like the French constitution's stance on this, because I mean, freedom of speech, okay, but not if you're going to incite racial hatred, cause personal injury to others, or incite a riot.
Yeah, the question is, who is it doing the inciting in relation to that? Is it the people who are spreading the news or create the platform to do it, or is it the people who are putting the messages on there? And that's where the debate falls, and whose responsibility is where it comes down to.
Well, perhaps there's a case for national regulation rather than Twitter sort of taking a handle on its own. You know, if a national government objects to an account, it should tell Twitter you've got to take that account down.
Yeah, but it's a global world, isn't it? The internet is not a national product.
There's still a certain amount of sovereignty, if I can bring that into the conversation.
Nice. There is an element of that, but listen, I think it goes beyond that. So I think some sort of coordinated approach is what is required, but of course very difficult to achieve.
Been a terrible time for the cruise lines, and just sparing a thought for all the thousands and thousands of seamen who are still stuck on cruise lines around the world since the pandemic started and haven't been able to get off. But of course, no passengers, no dosh.
Exactly right, and Carnival's figures reflecting that, reporting a bigger than expected fourth quarter loss, $2 billion. The cruise operators are now brought to a virtual standstill by the pandemic. Its shares traded down 2% yesterday on the update, having lost 60% over the course of the past year. Carnival has extended its pause on operations until the 31st of March, said it was working to bring all ships back into service by the end of the year. Hopes a broader distribution of vaccines, cheaper testing will reign in the pandemic. Carnival said they finished the year with $9.5 billion in cash, has the liquidity to sustain itself through 2021, even in a zero revenue environment. That's why the shares have not been more hit, more decimated than that 60%. Cash burn remains really important. It expects to burn cash at the rate of $600 million per month in Q1. It's about $100 million more than in the fourth quarter. Prepares to restart its operations.
Yeah, it's a shame because you used to enjoy cruising, didn't you?
I think that's something else. No, it's not for me, it has to be said. That's more your age demographic. I wonder whether people will go back on cruise ships. That's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, it'd be interesting to see what the demand is. After that, you go back to the summer, of course, people wanted to jump on planes, they wanted to go on holiday again, so perhaps a strong demand for that. The question is, of course, that how long do we live with this virus? There's still some unanswered questions around the vaccines. How long does it provide immunity for? if the virus mutates, can it meet those challenges? And when you're talking about cruising, you are indeed talking perhaps about an older demographic that is more susceptible to the coronavirus, perhaps adding some further pressure coming through on the sector.
And UK resale sales register their worst ever performance since records began.
Yeah, it was a pretty miserable set of numbers. Perhaps no real surprise that markets have been bracing themselves for this. If you look at food sales, of course, they've been very strong. Beyond that, retail sales under a lot of pressure. The lockdown, of course, has played havoc with the retailers and demand for certain sectors, and came at an important time, of course, because that crucial Christmas period is when they do a lot of their selling. So no surprise, it's been a tough time for many retailers beyond the food sector.
Foreign exchanges, pounds made a bit of a recovery.
Yeah, pound against the dollar coming in at 135.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 121.5. Can get just over €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. What's on the menu today?
A bit of homeschooling, a few client calls, writing an update to the Global Outlook, which I'll be publishing quite shortly, so enough to keep me going.
Are you giving little Henry economics lessons?
Well, I do sort of, I sit with him occasionally. Mrs. Potts tends to do it, but I tend to sit in occasionally, and then actually, you know, when things aren't precisely correct from the teacher, I do sort of intervene, you know. I do monitor things, basically.
You could write a book during lockdown, couldn't you?
Well, I could write many books.
Yeah, well, why don't you get on with it then?
Do you think I should?
Yeah.
The life and times of Henk Potts.
My impact on the global economy.
So that's a snappy title.
Right, talk to you tomorrow, thank you.
Leave it there, thank you.
Henk Potts and Barclays.